Our Bible reading today is the first chapter of Galatians. So we're starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Christ Jesus and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, and so I say again, if anybody is preaching you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Christ Jesus. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me.
It's incredible what can happen if you take something out of its context, isn't it? And that's why this morning I got you to look at Galatians in its context. And I hope that helped you to hopefully start understanding this book that we are looking at for the next 3 weeks and then, actually for the whole term. So as this morning you will have seen that the central theme of Galatians is the gospel, the good news. And there's actually a central question that goes throughout Galatians. How do I live in light of the gospel? We're not just saved, we are changed. And Paul will show us in various ways how our understanding of the gospel changes the way we live and protects us from deserting Jesus, the one who saved us. I know that I need to be reminded of the good news all the time, and I need to go deeper in my understanding of the good news. That's why I've asked you to write down at the very start of your book what you know about the gospel now. Because as we do our studies and listen to the talks, it'd be great if we could all grow in our understanding of the gospel and at the very least be really encouraged to keep listening to the gospel and keep living in light of the gospel. So hopefully we'll all learn something together. So let's pray. Father, thank you that Galatians is your word. It's your word to us. So help us to hear what it is that you are saying to us this morning, and help us to see how it is that we need to apply it to our lives today. Amen. So from birth, we look to our parents to love us and to provide for us and to teach us. and we trust them to know what is best for us and to do what is best for us. And for a long time, we think they know what is best, and we seek their approval, don't we? You know, I know I did. As we move through life, we seek the approval of lots of different people, teachers, students, fellow students, friends, bosses, co-workers, pastors, Bible study leaders, all sorts of people that we go through our life trying to read, do they like us or not? You know, have I done the right thing? Have I got it right? Should I be doing something different? We want to fit in and belong. And so we worry about what people think of us. Imagine you can all think of ways that you have sought to look at the approval of others. In chapter 1 of Galatians, Paul makes it clear that he does not live for the approval of people. He lives to please God. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He has been sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and that is what he does. He doesn't change the gospel to please others, and he doesn't need anyone's approval if he has God's approval. I think Paul has actually always wanted God's approval, but the problem was he trusted others to teach him what he needed to do for God's approval. From a human point of view, Paul was a man who seemed to have the prestige of birth, education, and position. He had the approval of the people who mattered to him at the time, and therefore he thought he had God's approval. Paul was a Jew. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. His Jewish name was Saul. He was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, which is in modern Turkey. He was also a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. Although he was born in Tarsus, he grew up in Jerusalem, where he studied under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a Pharisee and president of the Sanhedrin, which functioned as the internal government of Judea. The Pharisees dominated the Sanhedrin. Now, we're familiar with the name Pharisee if we've been reading our Bibles for a little bit, particularly in the Gospels and in relation to their opposition to Jesus. They believed that the Babylonian exile was caused by Israel's failure to obey all the Mosaic law, which they found in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. They wanted to avoid God's severe punishment happening again. So they carefully studied the scriptures to find all the laws and worked really hard to make sure they obeyed all of them. They found 613 commandments to obey. And they expected each and every individual Jew to obey all these commandments exactly. They also stressed tithing everything. So much so that they refused to eat in the homes of non-Pharisees in case the food had not been tithed. They burdened themselves and all Jews with the obeying of all these laws to the nth degree. So Paul says in verse 14, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. This zeal led him to persecute the church. In Acts 8, he approves of the stoning of Stephen. And then in Acts 9, we read, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. In Galatians 1:13, he says he intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He even had enough respect and influence to obtain a letter from the high priest to give him authority to arrest any Christians he found in Damascus and take them to Jerusalem to be punished. He had approval from the people that mattered to him. Paul also had the prestige of being born a Roman citizen. Such people were admired, as many people paid to become Roman citizens. So on so many levels, Paul was eaten a bit. In his letter to the Philippians, this is how he describes himself. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He had the approval of humans and thought he had the approval of God. He was working so hard to please God by destroying the new church. But God was not pleased, and so he intervened. Paul describes this in verse 15 of our passage. But God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. You see there that Paul is describing the gospel. God did everything. He set Paul apart and he called him by his grace. Paul had not done anything at all to deserve to be called by God. When God intervened, Paul was on his way to Damascus with a letter giving him authority to arrest Christians and take them back to Jerusalem for trial. And you can read about it in Acts 9. Here he's called Saul. Remember, that's his Jewish name. So Acts 9, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Jesus intervened and gave him a new life and a new role. God gave a man called Ananias the task of telling Paul what he must do. So the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Paul now has God's approval. He has God's gospel and a new role, and he didn't do anything to get any of it. He'd been working so hard to get God's approval, but now he has God's approval and he didn't do anything to get it. So that is Paul's defence of the gospel he preaches. He preaches the gospel God has given him and preaches to the people God has sent him to. It is God who gave Paul the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul does have the authority to travel to various places so that everyone can hear and respond to the gospel. And this is clear from verse 1 in Galatians there today. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Apostles were sent ones. An apostle was one who was sent on a mission representing the one who sent them and was accountable to the person who sent them. So just like Jesus commissioned his 11 disciples in Matthew 28, he said, then Jesus came to them and said, authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The disciples were called apostles because they were sent by Jesus to make disciples. Paul wasn't one of the 11 disciples that Jesus commissioned, but he called himself an apostle. He had seen the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was commissioned by Jesus to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul describes what Jesus said in Acts 26. We get a bit more detail from Paul here. Jesus had told him, I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among the sanctified by faith in me. So in Galatians 1, Paul chooses to emphasise that he has been sent by Jesus and God the Father. He has not been sent by any man. Therefore, he had the authority to preach the gospel in Galatia, because he was not accountable to a man, he was accountable to the one who had sent him, which was Jesus. And Paul makes it clear from verses 11 and 12 in our passage that the gospel he preaches is not of human origin. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And the proof of this is where he spent time after his conversion on the road to Damascus. He says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ." Jerusalem, I've included a map in your books, and there's a map up there. I personally love maps. But it helped me to get an idea of the space, the areas that we're talking about, because there's a lot of travelling and going places. So Jerusalem's down towards the bottom, and it was the centre of Jewish religion because the temple was there. And that is where Paul was based when persecuting the church. It is also where Jesus' disciples, the apostles, were. But Paul doesn't go back to Jerusalem for 3 years. Instead, he went to Arabia. Arabia is just to the east of Damascus, so to your right, if you find Damascus on there. So he wasn't necessarily, he didn't go all the way down the Arabian Peninsula necessarily. He was probably still in the area, but he was there. He wasn't in Jerusalem. Paul learned a lot from God, which was the foundation of all he preached in doing that. Think about it. Paul knew his Bible pretty well, very well. And it would appear that God took him aside in that 3 years and helped him to see just how much Jesus was in the pages of all that scripture that he already knew. So he had that time to hear from God and really think it through and not maybe be befuddled by other people. He could have gone and learned from the disciples, but it's interesting, you get to Galatians and it's important that he didn't get it from others. It's important that it's God's gospel. So God had it planned all along. He knew what was important. Now, does this mean that if we're a new Christian, we should hide ourselves away and just study the Bible by ourselves and not ask anyone to explain it to us? No. We're not Paul. God had particular plans for Paul. So we actually do need to learn from others. And the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, is evidence of that, because they needed to hear the gospel from Paul and they needed him to come and correct them as well. So we actually do need, we need to be in our Bibles learning from God, but we also need one another to learn from as well. So then, after 3 years, Paul did go to Jerusalem, but he didn't go there to learn the gospel. He went in to introduce himself to Cephas, who is Peter. And he introduced himself to James and to get to know them. It would appear it was a fairly quick visit. Paul was, I would assume, went and introduced himself to them. They were all apostles together. Then Paul, after only about 2 weeks, went back up to Syria and Cilicia and stayed there. And you'll see they're quite a way north. Cilicia is where Tarsus is, which is where Paul was from. And Antioch is in Syria, And it's the church at Antioch that sent Paul and Barnabas out on their first missionary journey. So it's a really important place for Paul. So Paul has made it clear that God has sent him to preach the gospel, and the gospel he preaches comes from God. He will not change the gospel he preaches because he lives to please God rather than people. He doesn't preach the gospel to receive praise and positive feedback. And that's a hard one when you're standing up here, to have our motives right. So good on him if you manage that. But he is Christ's apostle. Therefore, everything he does and the message he preaches is to please God. He will not change the gospel to please people or receive their praises. If he doesn't preach the gospel he was given, then he will actually be rebelling against Christ, the very one who sent him. So no matter what the Jews said, he would not change the gospel he preached. He knew that even if he changed it just slightly, then it was no longer the gospel. The gospel is no longer good news if it is changed. The Jews were trying to add circumcision and a long list of laws to the gospel. How could anyone see circumcision as good news? How could a long list of laws be good news? They're not good news. But some people were actually adding to the gospel because they wanted to avoid persecution. Paul only preached the gospel God gave him, therefore he was persecuted. Later in the letter, in Galatians 5:11, he says, "Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished." And in Galatians 6:12, "Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ." Avoiding persecution was the motivation compelling Gentiles to be circumcised. But Paul stuck to the gospel. And this led to believers praising God. He says in verses 22 and 23, "I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, 'The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy,' and they praised God because of me." Paul lived to please God, and this led to others praising God. And what did they praise God for? They praised him for the incredible change God had made in the life of Paul. The very person who was trying to destroy the church is now preaching the gospel and growing the church. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? And it's something only God could do. A false gospel cannot create the change we see in Paul or lead to praise of God. So whose approval and praise do we seek today? In your studies, you were asked to think of ways in which you are tempted to please people and win the approval of human beings. We all need to ask our Heavenly Father to show us where we are seeking the approval of God, of people instead of his approval, because it can be incredibly subtle. I find motivation can start off good and then just veer off a bit. So we need him to be telling us, don't we? Pointing it out by his Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that if we have responded to the gospel in faith, we already have God's approval. Do we need anyone else's approval? Paul certainly didn't think he needed anyone else's approval. It's so tempting to limit what we say when we're talking with people in different situations. And sometimes we, if you're like me, sometimes even shut down the opportunity to speak about the gospel, just in case. I've been thinking about it recently, and sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I really don't get it right. This year I've joined a carers support group, and we had this exercise where we had to say three words that described us. I'm not a fan of these types of things. And I can't remember the words that I chose, except that I thought, I probably should put Christian in there. So I did. Small thing, but people didn't know me, so I figured I needed to probably put it in there. Maybe that will lead to future conversations. It hasn't so far. But then last week I was at the physio and he asked me what I was doing with my week. Again, never a fan of trying to tell people what I'm doing. And I just said, I'm just working. I avoided saying I'm working on a sermon about the gospel to the book of Galatians. can you identify with that? Sometimes we get it right and we rejoice because God, you helped me there. And other times we chicken out and don't say the things that we could say. So we're all in that together. Because we know, don't we, that we're to live to please God. But we live to please him because we already have his approval. We are already his children. So we actually don't have to be doing anything to change his opinion of us. And that's the gospel. So let's remember that gospel this week. Verses 3 to 5 in our passage today, Paul summarises the gospel. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you that you forgive us when we fail. Thank you for forgiving us when we don't speak when we could. Please make us bold to share our faith in you and our hope in you. Help us to see the opportunities to say something and actually take the opportunity instead of shutting it down. Thank you that you already approve of us. We are already righteous in your sight and you are our Father and nothing can change that. Help us to keep that in mind this week, Lord. Amen.